The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 552, recorded on October 28th, 2019. Welcome to the 552nd edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 385th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falk.
I am Scott Turk.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, TJ would be with us except for technical difficulties, and there isn't much episode this week anyway. I mean, it's going to be Halloween in a few days, which is probably when this podcast is going to come out.
There's Luigi's Mansion 3 is coming in a couple days, so that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, isn't that kind of weird, though? Wouldn't you want to release that kind of game, like, a week before Halloween?
That way you can, yeah, experience it, because, yeah, releasing on the last day of October just kind of, it's like the end of the month, so you don't really
play it for one day, and then the next day it's going to be November 1st, and who's going to care?
Yeah, that does kind of damper the mood, but it's a fun game that I'm looking forward to playing, especially with my daughter. It'll be multiplayer, and we get to strategize with the slime Luigi and the regular Luigi, how each of them have different abilities, and so that makes you approach puzzles differently, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah. And I thought you'd like to know, that game I mentioned last week, Disco Elysium,
yes,
getting rave reviews.
That's excellent.
As a matter of fact, people are saying, well, it's actually better than The Outer Wilds. Some people are, not everybody, just some people are. it's like, you know, here's the thing. If The Outer Wilds people are comparing to Fallout 3 and, you know, New Vegas, then Disco Elysium they're comparing to Fallout 1 and 2.
Wow, okay. I can see that then.
Yeah.
The Disco Elysium does look good. There's just so many games, and I was just looking at trailers for Jedi Fallen Order, and I think that's a game that I'm gonna want. That looks like the kind of story I want, and he's a Jedi. He's not gonna be a Sith, whatever. You know, he's full on Jedi, and
Are you bored of the Jedi Force Unleashed games?
Yeah, I'm bored of the moody. You know, no, I'm done with that. I want a hero. You know, I want to.
Well, it does have Forrest Whitaker reprising his role as what was it? Saul? No, was it Saul? I'm trying to remember his character's name. From Rogue One.
Okay.
The old guy who died, played by Forrest Whitaker.
Okay.
Saul.
Well, that's cool.
A young version of him, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because this takes place between Revenge of the Sith and Rogue One.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. It'll probably be a grim game, and
be into stuff like Tenchu.
Well, we'll see how challenging it is. We'll see.
It's pretty challenging. Although I'm pretty sure they have the the newbie experience. What's it called? Difficulty level, really.
Right.
He does have his little robot.
Right, that looks awesome. It's always good to have a robot companion. I think you need that in the Star Wars franchise, to have a little robot sidekick that's kind of...
Unlike R2-D2 or even BB-8, he's a little parrot, basically. He's, mm-hmm. He clings on your shoulder.
He's emotional support.
So, yeah, for those... Well, no one would know because I just did it today, but I ordered a new computer. And one of the things I did not realize was that I ordered the computer. It has the latest graphic card on it, the NVIDIA 660.
Wow.
So, yeah, which makes me think, you know, at some point I'm going to want to get more RAM because this, quote unquote, only has 16 gigabytes of RAM.
Oh, yeah, you're going to need more.
Well, apparently my computer is already VR ready, even though I'm never going to be buying the headset for it because that's way too expensive.
Yeah, $500 or $600 just for the headset.
Yeah, but it is coming with the Ryzen 7. It's not a Threadripper. I don't have that much money. and the thing is that, you know, AMD is really putting pressure on Intel. You know, they're doing all the chips for consoles. they have way less expensive chipsets, and it's like, they better watch it, you know, Intel. I also had to go to CyberPower PC because iBuyPower no longer is including internal disk drives. And that's something I want.
Is it just SSD drives or just no drives at all?
No, disk drives, like Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
They only have external, which is kind of a bummer, you know, because I like having it inside. I don't want it outside, so I went to CyberPower instead.
I do like having a CD drive or an optical drive as well. There's a lot of people that don't have any drives at all, like they just don't need them, but I still like being able to have that option to rip a CD or just play a DVD.
Ripping movies.
Yeah.
On the other hand, and I also watch movies on my you know, I can watch it on my Xbox, but you know, I'd rather watch it on my computer, to tell you the truth.
Right. I can understand that. And yeah, I like to do video capture or screen capture. That's always
nice. At some point, I'm going to do that too. But you know, the reason why I did it now is because it's the holidays, and these places like iBuyPower and CyberPower PC, they always have deals on the holidays. So I got the Halloween discount along with those neat stuff, like there are free upgrades. You know, so I also got a free Xbox Game Pass for PC, which is superfluous because I already have the Ultimate. If they had the Ultimate, then I would keep it for myself. But I'm gonna give away the to whomever, you know, just to have free PC Game Pass for a year on PC. I mean, they had stuff that I really liked, like that's how I got to play Tyranny.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
And I'm playing The Outer Wilds because it's on Game Pass, both on PC and Xbox. So Microsoft owning Obsidian allows them to do that. It may be released for all platforms, but yeah, anybody who owns Xbox One or PC can play The Outer Wilds if they have the Game Pass.
That is awesome. I was hearing some of the lines that TJ was talking about from the game, and it seems like there's some... definitely some good writing in this game. You got a lot of options for different paths to take.
It's a comedy. It's a lighthearted comedy at least this time around, which is fun. I mean, games are always so serious. You know, it's nice to have a game that has a sense of humor.
That's a good point.
The other thing is that I think, and I'll have to look this up at some point, but I think Wasteland 3 will also be on Game Pass.
When is that coming out? I haven't heard anything.
It's coming out soon, actually. I think it's coming out early 2020.
Okay. I'll look forward to that.
But the thing is that, like I said, it's going to be on Game Pass, too.
That's good.
In Exile, you know, Microsoft owns that as well. So, yeah, it looks like, and I don't know if we discussed this last week, but Sony has their own version of their Game Pass. I think it's more streaming than anything else. But everybody's falling in line. I mean, EA has had Game Pass. I mean, they're the first ones to start out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Microsoft followed suit. And it's all basically to fight Stadia. And no one I know thinks Stadia is going to work in the United States.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in Stadia either. I don't know how well this is going to go over with just Google streaming.
Where it will go over is in poorer countries. Like, for those who don't remember, there was the Zeebo, which was a streaming console that was really big in South America.
Okay.
You know, and they allowed people to play stuff like, you know, Resident Evil 4. So I'm pretty sure that the United States is not the focus for Google with Stadia. Probably more for Europe.
That's probably then. That makes sense then.
Europe and Russia, because we have craptastic internet.
Yeah, I know. When you get that fiber going...
Yeah. What's scary is that China is the one who are building the next 5G internet. And, you know, the United States has been kicking its heels, you know. They need to upgrade the system, you know, the entire internet, you know, and they can't let other people do it for them. So. Yeah, I mean, in Exile, Wasteland 3 is being published by Xbox Game Studios on PC and Xbox 360, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be on Game Pass.
That'll be good.
There's some games that are coming on Game Pass, which shocked me. Oh, by the way, Stellaris is on Game Pass. So I just need to get a computer that can run it.
Well, then this one should be able to, I think.
Yeah, this new one. The thing is, I'm going to have to wait a bit. From what I understand, it's going to take 5 to 10 days to get here because I opted just to go with UPS ground. I don't care. I don't need my computer here that fast. I can survive for another 2 weeks.
Right, ground is a lot cheaper.
It's free.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's even better.
That's why I chose it. It's free. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So the Atari VCS, I was just checking that, hasn't come out yet. I'm trying to remember that console. But yeah.
Yeah, City Skylines is now on Game Pass as well. So.
Wow. That's good.
Good stuff on Game Pass. And, what's out on Game Pass? PC games, I'm sorry. Let me just look at only PC games, because I'm not going to say Panzer Dragoon Urda was just released on Game Pass, but that's only for the Xbox. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's something interesting. Zoo Tycoon Ultimate Animal Collection is on Game Pass. And Bloodstained is on Game Pass, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got to try those. I've heard good things about Zoo Tycoon.
Right.
And it looks like that's the one that has all the content.
Well, that's
good. I mean, Wasteland 2 is on Game Pass, so Wasteland 3 is definitely going to be on Game Pass.
I always like the Tycoon games where you can make your own little theme park or I guess in this case it'll be a zoo, animal attractions, and see what you can do. I'm always kind of morbid with the roller coaster Tycoon game, actually having people thrown to their deaths in another neighboring park.
Yeah.
I wonder if that will be in the Zoo Tycoon as well.
There's a game that's on Xbox Game Pass which I want to try, and that's the new ukulele game, the one that's a side-scrolling basically Donkey Kong Country, but with ukulele.
Oh, that sounds good. I always like a side-scroller game to have that option, because there are people that have trouble with the 3D games to get motion sickness, so it's nice to still see side-scrolling games made.
How to Fool Boyfriend is also on Game Pass, and I'm scared to play that. For those you don't know, How to Fool Boyfriend is the game in which you date birds.
Oh, that's weird.
Dating sim with birds.
I know there's a KFC dating sim. I didn't know if it was any weirder than that. Yeah.
I don't think you actually date birds in it, though. Something that really interested me is that I did not know about it, but there's yet another Vampire the Masquerade game coming out. It's coming out on December 4th. That's called Coteries of New York.
Oh.
It's they say it's an adventure game. It seems more like a visual novel to me that has branching storylines. It has great artwork, though. I'd like to try it out.
Yeah,
it's coming out on December 4th. Since one thing did we talk about it last week that Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 is being delayed?
Yes.
So that's being delayed, so might as well have something to fool.
That podcast was full of various delays, so I'm sure a lot of people were sad over that.
I don't know. I'm not sad that it's delayed.
Some people would be.
Yeah, I mean I don't need it now.
Right. Yeah, it's like Paul likes to say, a good game or a bad game will last forever. A good game can be delayed.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm getting
you butchered it like me too.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how, but basically, a rushed game is a rushed bad game is gonna last forever. Everybody will remember it being bad.
The quote is: a delayed game is eventually good. A bad game is bad forever.
There you go. That's bad forever.
Yeah. Let's talk about what we've been playing. What have you been playing, Scott?
Well, I've been playing some Shadow Tactics. It's a squad-based assassin game where you're in feudal Japan and you're out to assassinate a shogun. And you start off as the ninja who is going through the base. It's isometric, and you can rotate the camera fully, and you can use a controller, and you have abilities to like a shuriken and the ninja sword. Yeah,
by the way, people, when he says that it's isometric, think of what a lot of RTSs look like. That's how far back the camera is.
Right. You can zoom in the camera a bit, so there's some good camera control, I think, and it's the whole place is fully 3D rendered, so you can rotate it and see behind buildings and whatnot. And as you start off as one guy, you learn his abilities, then you get another one, Samurai Mugen, and he has a sword whirling ability where he can take on like three or take out three people at once, but then he has a long cooldown, that he uses, Sake to distract and lure someone over so he can take them out. And then the next person, was a sharpshooter who sits on a tall building. He'll take out some people for you, but he has a limited amount of ammo. And I haven't gotten too much farther than that, but I know that the other two, one of them was a geisha, and she will distract guards and lure them over, and you can take them out, or she can kill them. And I forgot what the last one is. I don't know what she does.
You'll
exactly.
Hairpin, by the way, just so you know.
I think that... Yeah, that's the geisha. That's the geisha.
You also have Yuki. She can kill with the dagger.
Yeah.
She's a thief.
Right. So I guess she's stealth too. She's stealth. And so it's an interesting game. I like the voice acting. And yeah.
This came out a while ago, by the way.
Yeah, a while ago. But I finally decided to play it. You know, I was in the mood, and it's very puzzle based. I feel like you're just trying to figure out how to get past certain guards in various scenarios.
Well, and here's the thing. If anybody wants to buy this game, it's 75% off on Steam right now.
Oh, yeah.
$10.
Mm-hmm. It's very worth it.
Actually, they have the Shadow Tactics Collector's Edition for $13. What does it contain? It contains...
Soundtrack.
The soundtrack and something else.
Art book.
The strategy guy, yeah.
Oh, okay, strategy guy.
And art book, yeah, it's both. Okay. But yeah, I mean, like I said, if you want to try it now, it's $10. There's mm-hmm. no use in not getting it. Are you playing it on Are you playing it on PC or on PS4?
PC.
Okay. Because it's also on PS4, Xbox One mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been out for a while. What you're doing in Minecraft, but we should save that for a second.
Okay. And I am still playing Link's Awakening. I'm getting farther in that one. I need a complete game.
Yeah. But. So I was playing Code Vein, and it's Dark Souls, except anime. Oh. It's a Dark Souls anime.
A Dark Souls anime.
Yeah. And you know, it's okay. I don't have time for a Dark Souls game. It's not that I can't beat it. It's just that. I'm burned out on Dark Souls type games. It's just so much tactical combat that I can stand right now.
Yeah, that's a lot of that. Let's see.
I decided to run through the entire Mass Effect trilogy again.
Oh, wow, okay.
And with the first Mass Effect, I did it so that I was romancing Liara. My other save has me romancing no one. And, you know, because here's the thing. Liara is BioWare's pet. They love that character so much that if you do the romance with her, it's the one that does every single game has at least one romance with her. So,
wow.
Yeah. But I also did it because in the first game, I 100%ed almost everything. Every single task, except for one. I didn't do all I didn't scan all of the keepers, because it's dumb and it doesn't pay off for anything in the later games.
Aww.
And I just don't want to hunt. That's just so stupid and boring, you know? It leads to another mission, but you don't need to complete the keepers to get the next part of the mission. So, who cares? But everything else I did.
Right, and well, that's good.
I also did all of the things in Mass Effect 2, and now I'm currently in Mass Effect 3. I just cured the Genophage, and I think I made a mistake. I don't know, because, there's one item I need to give back to a diplomat, but once you complete the T'Chanka portion, cure the Genophage, then the Cerberus invades the Citadel. So I don't know if the guy will be there alive if I go back. Hopefully he will be. We'll see.
Oh yeah, I've never played that game, but I've obviously heard a lot about it. Yeah.
See, the thing is that the first game, the combat is so shit.
Yeah. See, I just...
It's okay. It's like, okay, third-person shooter, but the second game introduced the cover tactics and got rid of all the friggin' weapons and just gave you... You only have 5 to choose from, but that's fine because you can upgrade them any way you like. So it made it a lot easier and less stupid.
Well, that's good, at least.
Yeah. There isn't any inventory clog with it anymore. As a matter of fact, I don't think you have... Yeah, you don't really have an inventory. You have everything when you pick it up. It just goes into a hammer space.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about inventory. It's just there.
Oh, that's good.
Although, with weapons, you actually have to go to a weapon bench to change out your weapons to different weapons, but that's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, and, I'm also playing The Outer Wilds. Like I said, it is, it's for, oh, damn it. It's on Game Pass, so there's no point in me not playing it. And I haven't gotten very far in it. I'm enjoying what I see. There's not, you know, I haven't gotten far enough. I have one companion right now, and I had the option to say, nah, I can go alone. And there's actually a perk that gives you a bonus if you do your missions alone.
Right, but I think that was an ability in Fallout Lone Wanderer, and you would get a bonus for going by yourself.
Yeah, and in this case, it's called Lone Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Obsidian isn't going too far. And when I looked at, when I scrolled through the my character sheet, I saw there were 6 factions, and I was neutral in all of them, and I said, yay, it's the Fallout New Vegas thing again, in which you can be, you know, you can piss off this faction, be friendly with this faction, you know, that sort of thing.
The yeah. Faction seems to be a big thing in gaming right now. I know it was in Pillars as well, and in all the
with
Fallout.
Obsidian. I mean, that's another Obsidian game.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's going to be in the next Dying Light 2, and that's because the writer is Chris Avellone.
I'm really curious if any of the factions will not be assholes, but I'm sure they'll all be assholes in one way or another.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, you know, the game's humor runs from the fact that this planet is run by a corporation, and the first guards you meet constantly have to say the corporate slogan and everything they say.
Oh. I bet that gets old.
Well, I don't know. It's funny.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm on my first plot mission now. Aside from getting to the town, you know, and I'm really liking the. See, here's the thing. Since it's a first person thing, I'm putting everything into stealth and into speechcraft. And you can when you have spheres, you know. Each of them have 3 skills, and when you level up that sphere, all of them level up. And then when you hit 50 on any one of those spheres, then you can directly put get into that one skill. So you have these bubbles with 3 skills, and then when you get more the more advanced you get in that skill, then you can specialize in that skill and just level up that skill without the other 2 skills.
That does sound interesting, and hopefully you're able to spread out from those skills. It sounds like
there's you also have perks, which are different.
Oh, okay. Because I always feel... I don't know. It's hard for me to focus in one thing because I feel like I need to...
Oh, you can spread out. I mean, you get...
Yeah,
you
spread
get enough,
out, right.
Yeah, you get enough... What's it called? Like, one of the good things is that if you put a skill into a bubble, all 3 skills upgrade. See? But once you get one of those skills to a level, you can forget about doing an upgrade all 3 and just upgrade that one.
Right.
Skill point, you know.
That'll be interesting. I'd like to try that out as well. That game does look good.
Well, if I give you the Game Pass, the Xbox Game Pass for PC, you can because it's on Game Pass.
That is awesome.
Other than that, nothing else. There are some games I'm looking out for, but I'm not going to get into them right now. Anyways, we're going to go into game news. I mean, I knew what the gaming flashback was going to be, but I'm going to wait until TJ is with us to comment on it.
Okay.
Anyway, our first news item is Minecraft's Bedrock Edition adds character creator, among other things, from Eurogamer. Minecraft's Bedrock Edition, which is to say the version available on Windows 10, Switch, Xbox One, and mobile, You notice a notable omission there?
PlayStation?
Yeah. And I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the fact that they would rather it have crossplay before they add that. Anyways, has just received a beefy new update along the likes of adorable poultry-munching foxes and a previously detailed character editor. Unsurprisingly, it's the foxes that steal the show in Minecraft 1.13.0 to give this update a crushingly unglamorous official title, with a floofy biter. God, these are Europeans. With a floofy?
Flighters.
I know, but what's floofy mean?
Fluffy, floofy? Basically. TJ says it all the time about his dog.
Floofy?
Floofy. Floofy, yeah.
I thought that was his name.
No, that's not the dog's name.
Floofy Blighters, snoozing around, looking at cutest buttons by day and prowling through the shadows by night. According to Mojang, keep your chickens safe and your belongings close, otherwise you'll find them dead or gone, especially come nightfall. Foxes joined Minecraft following a community vote held as part of last year's Minecon livestream, in which players were asked whether Mojang should update the game's desert, savanna, or taiga biomes. First, by the way, the taiga, that it's like just south of the Arctic Circle.
Yes. They used to be snow-covered, but now they've gone back to not being snow-covered, so you have to... They have two different taigas now, the snowy one and the non-snowy one.
Yeah, and it's supposed to have permafrost, but the permafrost is melting too, but we won't get into that. The taiga and its promise of foxes attracted the bulk of fan enthusiasm. If that sounds familiar, a similar vote during this year's Minecon Live showed players deciding that the Minecraft mountain biome in most want of an update. You would know better than I. Did the mountain biome need an update?
I guess. I mean, some people feel that the mountains in the game are not really unique biomes. They're just elevated and to a higher elevation than, and they need, I guess, better, because this is the only biome that they promised to update the generator of it, so it would look different. We're going to get new snow blocks, I guess, we'll have to see what they do. And goats that'll probably just be there to annoy you, I guess. I was really wanting to go for swamp because at least it had a new tree. But I guess we'll just get that later on. First, mountains.
Elsewhere in today's 1.13.0 release, Minecraft Bedrock ushers in its extensive character creator. Although players have been able to create custom character skins for years, the new feature enables fans to build their own avatars from various pre-made bits, changing their body shape, eyes, mouth, hairstyle, skin tone, facial hair, and more. Over 100 customization items will be included in the update for free, and other accessories created by the Minecraft team will be made available to buy through the in-game store. That's not the end of the 1.13.0 feature list, however. Today's update also includes the likes of abandoned villages, brown mushrooms, suspicious stew, the wither rose, and more, as it detailed in its lengthy patch notes. Mushrooms? Is that right? Mushrooms?
Yeah, mushrooms. It's basically a brown cow with brown mushrooms on its back.
Ew.
Yeah. And basically it gives you brown, or it gives you mushroom stew, and if you feed it a flower, it'll give you suspicious stew. Abandoned villages are basically villages that villagers died in, so you should be ashamed of yourself for letting them die.
What? Is this sort of like Animal Crossing and you just left it alone?
Yeah, if you leave them alone, they'll die from zombie raids or pillager raids or getting
like a
killed.
Guilt trip on you.
Yeah, the villagers are very death prone. They're not. They need to be guarded and kept safe. I mean, you know, but people let them die, so whatever. The character creator was definitely a needed thing for the consoles, I feel, because there's a whole lot of buying skins and not too much of. It didn't seem like there was too much of being able to make your own skin until now. So that's I like that they've included this feature for the console. That's definitely. I haven't used it, but I'm glad that it's there for people, so they don't have to constantly buy new skins. If they want something different, they can actually change their skin now.
Well, here's the thing: when you buy skins, though, don't you have to buy like licensed skins most of the time?
I don't know if they're licensed or not.
I mean, like you can be Han Solo or whatever, you know. Or like they just did with the Powerpuff Girls.
Well, like on Java Edition, I can download a Han Solo or Zelda for free and just go play, and nobody cares. But on the Xbox, there's a whole bunch of skins that have been made, I assume, by the company, someone on the Microsoft team, to be available for people to purchase and play, like the Egyptian one or the Chinese one. Or they have different themes. There's an aquatic one and so on. And, you know, I didn't see an ability before to make your own skin. And now I do.
The avatar editor in the Xbox. Because mm-hmm. they've been doing something that for a long while.
So this is them becoming more feature parody that they've been wanting. I forget the guy's name that's on the Minecraft Xbox team, but he seems to be the lead, and he's very advent on getting both Java Edition and the Bedrock Edition to be pretty much the same features across those two versions of the game.
Yeah. Carl? No, it wasn't him. He left. Anyways, yeah. So, we're gonna go to our next item. Iceberg Interactive to publish Pirate Battle Royale Blazing Sails. And this comes from us from Game Watcher. Publisher Iceberg Interactive concluded its first ever Iceberg Ahead event with the announcement that it will publish the upcoming pirate-themed battle royale Blazing Sails. Developed by GetUp Games, Blazing Sails takes the action-specific of battle royales and places it in a naval context where players square off against each other using customizable ships. Blazing Sails does let you create your own pirate ship. However, on the high seas, you'll inevitably need to find yourself in need of a crew to make sure the ship is used efficiently. Aside from navigating... Whoa, what did you...
I'm sorry. Sorry, I hit the run button.
Aside from navigating and firing cannons to sink the opposition, players and their crew will have to be quick on their toes when it comes to fixing damage. In between naval skirmishes, players will take to the islands in order to scour them for loot. This includes an entire arsenal of weapons with pros and cons, but also resources, which probably likely come to play when repairing your ship. Interestingly enough, Blazing Sails will let players respawn until their ship is completely destroyed and ends up decorating the bottom of the ocean. It's published by Iceberg Interactive, and it's going to be coming out on PC via Steam sometime in early 2020. So this sounds a lot like Microsoft's game, except it's
Sea of Thieves.
Battle Royale. Yeah. And here's the thing. It's interesting that, you know, you're sailing your ship, but you also have to go onto islands to do stuff. And you can just imagine people fighting over the islands as well.
Yeah, there's resources on the islands, I'm sure, and then you have to jump back on your ship as I assume the border is coming in.
Yeah, I just hope that the center of the entire thing is in the water, so that you don't have people fighting on the island. No, you have to be in your pirate ship in order to win.
Right, that would make sense. It looks nice, the graphics look pretty. Yeah, but I'm not into Battle Royale, but I do like this theme and seeing the graphics.
There have been a lot of Pirates games that have been starting to come out. There was that one that was being done by the people who did Ark Survival.
Mm-hmm.
Except that one, oh god, there was so much controversy about Atlas.
The Endless Seas?
Yeah.
I didn't...
No, not Endless Seas. Atlas, the Pirate Survival MMO, the one...
I don't think I heard any controversy. What happened there?
We talked about it, didn't we?
I don't recall. Maybe we did. I'm sorry.
It was just a reskin of Ark Survival Evolved.
Oh, well, that would...
I mean, they found the menu inside the Atlas game.
Okay, wow.
And then, because of this, you know, just when it was launched, it was last year, in fact, in December, it was just a big mess.
Yeah, it sounds like a mess. How did they get the game code to reskin it?
They just made Ark Survival Evolved and just replaced the dinosaurs with pirates.
Okay. I understand now. Never mind. They just
re-released the game with pirates instead of dinosaurs.
That's weird. Okay. Yeah. Then that's yeah. All right.
That was my question.
I don't know.
$15 But then again, it's an MMO. It's still early access. So, I don't know. I hear, you know, I don't play it, but I know that Sea of Thieves has been getting a lot of continued support from Microsoft. They're not going to let that thing die.
Well, that's good.
I might try it out because it's on Game Pass, but then again, here's the problem with doing something like that. I'm a new person coming into a game like that. It's going to be like I'm going to be dealing with people who are much more advanced than me. And I'll be alone. I don't have any friends to sail a ship with me. So I'm going to be at a big disadvantage when I do that.
Right. Well, you tend to want to be by yourself. I know you said that on World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but that's not the kind of game that that you should be by yourself. It's just going to be me and one little dinghy? Come on. I have to pilot a ship, damn it. What am I going to do by myself on a ship by myself? I can't navigate. I can't navigate and fire a cannon at the same time. And if my ship gets bombed...
Make new friends.
Yeah, basically, I'd have to do pick up games.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could just not play it.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing's forcing me to play it.
That's true. Nothing. Oh, man. But, yeah. It's cool that they have a pirate battle royale game. I think there's some people I know that actually would like to play that.
Just not, well, you know, there was a pirate RPG which just stunk.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play it, you know. It's like, I don't know. Anyways, let's talk Nintendo.
Okay.
First things first. Oh damn, this is gonna be a bitch to edit. There was something I wanted to talk about, but I can't see it here yet. Okay. So let's talk about Luigi's Mansion 3. Luigi's Mansion 3 for Nintendo Switch is frighteningly cheap right now. Thursday is Halloween, but you don't have to wait long till you start eating candy that you've been stockpiling for trick-or-treaters. Nor do you have to wait to explore a spooky mansion with everybody's favorite brother Luigi. That's because while it's not being released until Halloween, you can buy Luigi's Mansion 3 for Nintendo Switch for $50 right now. To get that deal, you need to be logged into Rakuten and apply for a coupon code DS9 at checkout. This looks like a great deal since everywhere else seems to be offering the game at a $60 price. If you're interested in snagging the game for $10 off, you have to wait until just before the stroke of midnight on Wednesday night to place your order, as the witching hour begins Thursday morning. The $10 discount evaporates like rays in the pale moonlight. So, yeah, you have to do it just before the stroke of midnight.
Okay, well, I got a suite, so I guess I'm just paying full, whatever, fine. I'm not waiting until the stroke of midnight. I got work in the morning. Oh man, but that'll be a fun game. Like I was saying before, you have Luigi, of course, who has his suction gun thing where he's tucking in the ghosts, and then you have the slime version Luigi, who can go through sharp metal objects and grates, I think it was, but it can't touch water. Water will make them dissolve, and that's something Luigi can cross, so you'll have to, you'll have puzzles that involve those mechanics.
Unless you buy Jackbox Party Pack 6.
And I'm just glad that Luigi gets at least one game where he gets to be the hero.
I'm going to tell you something, you know, just... Mario's a bore. He's just a bore. He has no emotions. Luigi wears his emotions on his sleeve.
That's true. That's very true.
If he's scared, he will be scared. Mario will just be, okay.
Yeah, let's do this. Oh, man. But yeah, it's like, that'll be a lot of fun. Let's see, what else was there? I guess I can look up the other mechanic stuff.
Mechanic stuff? What for what?
Luigi's Mansion 3. I just trying to remember the other stuff that it had, because I know there's also a, I think it's a free-for-all four-player mode where you're trying to capture as many ghosts as possible.
You know, you can also get Luigi's Mansion for $50 at Walmart.
That's cool. Okay.
But yeah, the reviews are coming in. And my favorite review is from Ars Technica. They say Luigi's Mansion 3 review, the most Nintendo game from Nintendo in years. So this is the most Nintendo-y game of them all, whatever that means. I think it means the character design and the gameplay.
Okay, because I mean, there's Smash Brothers and there's all the Mario Tennis, Mario Kart, Mario Party, Mario Odyssey.
I think it's because in this game, the Mario Brothers are, as usual, monumentally stupid. You have to admit, Mario and Luigi, they're not exactly the sharpest tools in the box.
Yeah, that's true. Always letting Bowser kidnap Peach constantly.
It's not only that, they always make the wrong decisions. And the most frighteningly obvious decisions.
Yeah.
Because they go into a mansion they've never heard of because they were invited. By the way, where do they live anyway?
I guess they live in the Mushroom Kingdom and...
No, I mean, where do they live? Does Peach let them crash at the castle?
I guess, I don't know. They don't go into details like that, typically. I guess they're living in the castle. I don't know where else they would live.
Yeah. Of course, the castle, the mansion itself looks like the Empire State Building, except with a chest on top.
Isn't that pretty much the start of a lot of horror movies? Is, oh, we've been invited to this mansion, you know, like House on Haunted Hill. You know, yeah.
I know that every Zelda game has to start with Link waking up. It's true. Every single one of them starts with him waking up.
Like the first two, I think he's just there.
He's just, yeah, we had to wake up at some point. But I'm just saying, yeah, almost all the Zelda games, he just wakes up.
Link's Awakening, yes, and The Breath of the Wild.
Well, definitely. Link's Awakening, of course, because it's in the title.
Right? I know, it's just making a joke. Link to the Past, he was also waking up because he was in bed.
He's waking up at everything.
I guess he does wake up a lot at the beginning of a game.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the beginning of the story, Link wakes up.
Maybe should have done. Well, that's how Mother begins, doesn't it? Or Mother 3.
Yeah.
Earthbound. Of course, you're a little child, so of course you're waking up.
Chrono Trigger starts that way.
Japanese just like waking up.
I don't know. I guess
begin with you waking up.
That's true. There's some animes that start that way, where your character is waking up.
Well, here's the other thing. In every Elder Scrolls game, you start off in jail.
Right.
I don't know why, but you have to be in jail in that game.
So, I assume in Elder Scrolls 6, we'll also be starting in jail.
Every Fallout game starts out with you getting out of a vault.
Mm-hmm. That's true as well. You gotta have your tradition.
The Baldur's Gate game started with you waking up.
Yeah, I think, well, not the first one. The first one, I think.
I guess when you woke up, because you wake up and Imuin is there to meet you, and you have to go meet that old wizard.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, you're right.
Elminster.
She's not taking you to meet Elminster, she's taking you to meet your father. Later on, you meet Elminster on the road. So I guess, you know, you have to have your Elminster, cameo when you're playing D&D, and then people bitch that he was there. Whatever.
Here's the thing. I know he was in Baldur's Gate, but I don't remember him being in, say, the SSI Goldbox games.
I think he might have made. He made an appearance in the Shadowdale game.
Oh, Pools of Darkness. He made it in. Yeah. He made it in Pools of Darkness. But that's the last game.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's not just those. It's the other modules that are around, and the general idea that he's this super powerful wizard, and it's like, well, why isn't he fixing everything? And it's like, he's not that omnipotent. And it really annoyed me when they came out with 4th edition, and they said, well, we heard you, so we're going to get rid of all these NPCs that have been bothering you, except for Drizzt and Elminster. They're still around. And it was like, what? It didn't make no sense. Those are the two that people are bitching about the most, and those are the two you keep. That really frustrated me with that edition of D&D.
Did you ever meet Drizzt in Baldur's Gate?
Yes, Drizzt, yeah. He's out fighting Knowles, and you can help him, or you can steal from him. You could try to kill him, I guess. You know, I mean, it's like, I loved that this happened so much that they created a scenario in the second game that if you killed him or took his stuff, his friends would come and beat you up, would, you know, kill you because you did that because you're evil. You know, taking from, you know, hurting Drizzt means you're evil because Drizzt is good. So it's just, you know, anyways.
You kill Drizzt. And if he appears in the second game, he'll be angry at you for doing that.
Yeah.
You killed me.
Like, how dare you? Yeah, I think Harkle Harper shows up and takes your stuff. He just takes it. He's like, yeah, you can't have this stuff, and just grabs it from you.
Yeah. Anyways. I don't know. I don't remember any of the other, you know, major characters from AD&D. I mean, there's Drizzt, there's Elminster.
Mm-hmm. There's
Vecna. Vecna.
Right.
The main thing that people know about Vecna is that he did all those spells.
Well, yeah, and then there's his hand and his, I think, his eye or something, and there's a horn or whatever. But there's also
Esrond. You have the Sword of Cass. You have the head of Vecna that appeared once.
There's Esrond, Blackstaff. There's, well, I mean, for Forgotten Realms, anyways, I know the characters. There's just a whole bunch, but I guess we're getting sidetracked. I'm kind of surprised we aren't talking about
freaking hand spells.
Yeah. Oh, that's Mordekaiser's hand, I think. Mordekaiser or Mordekaiser.
Was it Bigby?
If there's Bigby's as well. There's a lot of famous wizards with a lot of famous notable spells, and they all do various things. I think it was Mordekaiser's missiles, where you can have a little fireball in your hand and you just throw it. So that's, you know, that's useful.
There's Bigby's hand of masturbation. I mean, there's that too.
Yeah, I'm sure if you really wanted to do that to your DM, he'd probably.
Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna read you all the spells that Bigby created. Ready?
Okay.
Bigby's clenched fist. Bigby's crushing hand. Bigby's forceful hand. Bigby's grasping hand. Bigby's interposing hand. Bigby's disrupting hand. Bigby's helpful hand. Bigby's striking fist. Bigby's tripping hand. Bigby's warding hand. Bigby's battering gauntlet. Bigby's besieging bolt. Bigby's bookworm bane. Bigby's construction crew. Bigby's dexterous digits. Bigby's fantastic fencers. Bigby's feeling fingers. Okay, that must be the masturbation one. Bigby's force sculpture. Bigby's grasping hands. And there's a part two of that. Bigby's most excellent force sculpture. That was the one that was done by Wayne and Garth, I guess. Bigby's pugnacious pugilist. Bigby's souncing hand. Bigby's slapping hand. Bigby's strangling gip. And Bigby's superior force sculpture.
Man, Bigby is really...
Wow.
Yeah, I guess he's a wizard that's using spells to make sure people don't mess with him, and so he. That's a lot of. Some of these, like, fan made, because I don't remember these being in official spell books before.
Five of them were from the Player's Handbook. The other one were. Five more of them were from Player's Handbook 2.
Okay. Wow.
It's just...
a lot of hand spells.
But, you know, here's the thing. This is what Gary Gygax had to say about it. Someone asked him, I heard a story in which it made it sound like Bigby was an NPC that you charmed and later became your PC. And Gygax said, Mordenkainen did indeed manage to get a drop on Bigby and charm him. At the time, Bigby was a third-level evil dungeon dweller. By word and deed, Morty brought him around from evil to neutral, and thus Bigby became his apprentice. So I guess that's why Bigby loves his hand spells.
I guess so. Well,
of Mordenkainen.
Okay. Well, that's where. Okay. But I thought another news item of interest would be that Steam was coming back. Or I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. That was. I didn't know if I really wanted to get into it because it's not that. It's not really that big a news, at least not to me, because they already had stuff on Steam.
But I mean,
they just had completed games on Steam.
I just wondered if that meant Origin was going away, if they were going back to Steam or not. It feels weird to say put your game on Steam, but you still have to open it up in Origin. It's like, what's the point?
It's going
to
remove that requirement.
Right. That's what
I mean. I don't think Origin is going anywhere. I mean,
I wasn't sure.
It may be that you can buy games now without having Origin in them, but people who already have Origin, you know, probably will still be playing it on their.
Right.
And that could only happen if Valve decided to, you know, because here's the thing. I don't know if EA needed to do this, but Valve is probably getting hurt by Epic, so they probably went to EA and said, "Listen, we're going to lower our you know, we're going to do some sort of financial deal with you, because Valve needs some PR right now badly."
Right. I mean, this it certainly looks nice if EA puts more of their games, because that's where I saw Jedi Fallen Order was on Steam, and that made me happy because I'd like to play it on Steam.
You can get something like Dragon Age Origins Ultimate Edition on Steam, because
right.
all the DLC is included.
See, well, I think that
EA doesn't care about selling the games and having Valve take a cut. They're concerned about Valve taking a cut from their DLC.
Then that must does that mean that the Fallen Order won't have that much DLC, if any?
Or maybe Valve has decided, okay, we'll be hands off about your DLC on this.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know the thing is with them right now. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't really care. I don't mind. Origin like other people do.
Yeah, I don't mind Origin either. I mean, other people are like, it doesn't work, and I'm sitting here, it works. I don't know. Like
with me.
I don't know.
Maybe you should stop, you know, trying to hack the games.
Maybe. I don't know what it is that other people have trouble with. I don't know. I haven't had that trouble. And I'd like to. I know it'd be nice to be able to play my game through Steam if it was from Origin, because I know how GOG was at least listing all the games that you're. Yeah. I just might play through Galaxy. So I just thought that was an interesting story, at least, to bring up.
Anyway, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some iTunes comments. You can find me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
And I am at Al Pichard.
And we will see you next week, hopefully with TJ.
Yes, hopefully. Happy gaming, everyone.